Line to gain versus line to blame. This is the Todd Wright Toddcast presented by Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers. Pin Chasers has four locations in the greater Tampa Bay area for bowling, food, and fun, for lane reservations, party planning, and more. Go to pinchasers.net. Follow them on Instagram at pinchasers to monitor what seems like daily specials on unlimited bowling for many evenings. I think pretty much every evening except Friday and Saturday, which obviously is sensible. It's why you don't get happy hour pricing generally on, say, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at other places. Pin Chasers has food and beverage specials also on a regular basis. You can get all that information via their social media, again, at Pin Chasers on Instagram. I thank Pin Chasers for their continued sponsorship of my podcasts, of my golf tournaments. Brandon Legal Group played in my most recent golf tournament, Todd Wright Tour XLIX, won by Spectrum Bay News 9 anchor Mike Cairns, who I work with on television on the Spectrum Sports 360 show on Spectrum News in Tampa and Orlando weeknights at 10:30. Just did that last night. We're recording this on Wednesday morning, a little past 11 a.m. Brandon Legal Group is your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. I am a paid non-attorney spokesperson, simply reminding you that if you are an adult male residing in the state of Florida and you continue to pay permanent alimony, we've been trying to tell you for almost a year and a half now that permanent alimony is no longer law in the state of Florida and hasn't been since July 1st, 2023. Contact Brandon Legal Group for the opportunity to reduce or eliminate altogether future financial obligations due to permanent alimony. 813-902-3576 or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com for a free consult. Brandon Legal Group provided the first place prize baskets with some help from West Chase Golf Club with some golf balls and golf hats that were won by Team Cairns, who will look to defend in Good versus Evil 2025. Which was just announced for February 1st, hosted by the Tampa Sports Authority. First time Tampa Sports Authority will host us at Rogers Park. For golf information, email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. I've been meaning to ask all of you to explain why college players drop a football inches, feet, yard or two before achieving a touchdown for a long time. I think going back to last year, didn't we see it in one of the Oregon-Washington games that were so good last year? Now we see it in a pro game with the most, according to PFF, the most inefficient qualifying starting running back in the National Football League in a highly paid, previously productive player in Jonathan Taylor. He did it over the weekend in a pro game. He makes big money. The Colts, at the time that they were playing the game, still have something to play for. No, this isn't fantasy related. Yeah, I own him. I didn't play him. That's how inefficient he's been this year. And with Anthony Richardson under center, Richardson is the one getting the goal line carries. Taylor this year, about as bad as anybody with a full workload as a starting running back in the NFL in terms of yards after contact and other key efficiency numbers. This seems to be an example of once a guy got highly paid, he doesn't play at the same level he did before he got paid. Sorry, Jonathan, that's exactly what's going on here. This was a guy who, what, 2 to 3 seasons ago, just had a monster National Football League season and would be a key person for the Colts if they were to be a playoff contender, which they are not. Taylor was going into the end zone. I believe it was a game against the Broncos. Nobody near him. and he simply dropped the ball. Now, I know we had one in the Bengals game that was a non-offensive player. I believe it was a defensive play. Granted, he didn't secure the ball, but it was a defensive player. He was changing hands, maybe to get ready to celebrate or do whatever he was thinking about doing. This is more about Jonathan Taylor and offensive players, or just players in general who do this, where we watch pretty much every game and we see multiple examples of players who manipulate the ball and their bodies to achieve the line to gain first down. Not the wide receiver for Tennessee a couple of weeks ago, Calvin Ridley, who just went out of bounds 2 yards before achieving it. But we see it all the time, right? How they fight. They know where the marker is. They know what the yard line is. They don't have it in front of them like we have on TV, but they know. So many of them know. They dive. They stick their hand out. It's the ball. It's their body. Right? And we admire it. Why? Because that's the goal on the goal on every play is to score. It really is. Now, I know some plays aren't designed to score. But if your goal isn't to score, then your goal is to move the chains. Reach the line to gain. You achieve a first and 10 for your team. New set of downs. New opportunity to continue possession of the football. We see so many players work hard with their bodies and with possession of the football to get that line to gain. We'll see it internally, like between the hashes. We see people doing the same thing. It is when a player is in the open field, often an offensive player, I guess on occasion, this could be a return situation, punter kick return, interception return, fumble return, where a player, again, within inches, feet, yards of the goal line with no one around him, will not treat the goal line the same way players treat the line to gain for a first down or the goal line inside the hashes on a goal to go play. Why? Because they are showboating, because their mind is, how do I celebrate this? Look at me. How does it stop? When coaches start benching the player publicly. And so many coaches are afraid to do this because they're afraid to lose the locker room, lose potential free agents, lose potential recruits, lose guys to the portal. The only way this stops is when coaches basically make it you're out of the rest of the game offense. And honestly, when you have an individual player that puts individual, how do I celebrate? I don't need the ball anymore. And prioritizes what he is going to do rather than achieving the line to score as he would for virtually any other situation. He is costing his team 6 to potentially likely 7 or maybe 8 points. It is honestly one of the biggest negative plays in the game. It's a pick six. You are taking 6 to 7, potentially 8 points out of your own team's pocket and handing the ball to your opponent, provided that the ball crosses the goal line. Sometimes it just sits there. I've seen it where no one recovers and the offense actually gets it back. But it is the ultimate negative play. So there is no one else to blame but the individual player who put individual interests over team interests in costing his team 6 to 8 points. Take him out. Send him to the locker room. And you don't want teammates going up to him saying, hey, man, it's okay. We'll get him next time. I think you make it pretty clear to the teammates. No. You're not doing that here. He's going to the locker room, and he's going to spend the rest of the game there. Yeah, we're putting him in timeout. Why? Because he needs to think about what he did so he doesn't do it again. And the shame that comes with it. In the NHL, guys go to the penalty box. Sometimes with a serious enough offense, they go to the locker room. But I'm waiting for coaches to bench the player. And I'd love to see the player simply sent off the field. I mean, we had a player quit on the Niners the other day. I have seen coaches in the past basically order players away. We had a case off the field years ago when John Gruden basically told Keyshawn Johnson, here's your damn ball. Go home. Don't show up. Don't come to the facility anymore. But as it relates to these players at the pro, Jonathan Taylor, and college level, who, with no excuse, with no opposition, do not achieve the line to score and do not treat the goal line the way they treat the line to gain for individual reasons, they have put themselves above the team. At that point, honestly, it's a fireable offense, but at least let's get it started with a benchable offense. Whether you want to sit that player on the bench for the rest of the game and have him shown on TV why he's not moving, or I think it would be easier to just send him to the locker room, escort him with someone from your staff. Sure, it'll be caught on camera. Sure, reporters will ask, and you answer. Coach Steichen, we noticed that Jonathan Taylor, after the play where he fumbled before scoring the touchdown, didn't play after that. Was he injured on the play? No, he was not. We sent him to the locker room, and he was done for the day. It was my decision. Now, you need to make this clear in advance. You do it in camp. You do it in the film sessions. I mean, the Belichick audiobook. The Belichick book was great, and I know Belichick's sort of back in a new conversation with taking the job at UNC. I don't know how this is going to go. I think it's either going to be phenomenal or it's going to be a disaster. And or the Mike Florio thing. Belichick will be in and out of there so quickly, and he's setting up a lot of other people for jobs, and he could be gone in a year back to the National Football League. I don't know. But I do know that one of the things from the Belichick book, well done by, I believe it was Ian O'Connor, Belichick would shame people in film sessions. Parcells, who mentored Bill, shamed people on the practice field. However you want to do it. But clearly it worked for those guys. So however you want to do it, make clear, you do this, this is the result. I mean, you could go further with this, with personal fouls or unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. Immediately you're on the bench, whether it's for the rest of the series, the rest of the possession, the rest of the quarter, treat it like a targeting call in college football, rest of the half. But I think we've seen enough. And you can't even call it unexplainable. It is explainable. Jonathan Taylor was thinking about how he was going to behave with the camera on him after scoring that touchdown rather than securing the ball for the line to gain slash score. He took 6 to 8 points off the board for the Colts, hurt his team, and should not have played, in my opinion, the rest of the game. Take him out. That's it. And anyone else who does that, same thing. We'll treat it the same way. Now, if you're fighting for that extra yard and you lose, totally, totally different. That's the only way this is going to stop, is when a coach or coaches make it a priority on that play, which we've seen so many times, now in pro and for years in college. We saw it in the Jets game this year, right? Some rookie, I think, on a pick six. You do it, you can go straight to the locker room afterwards. You're done for the rest of the day. You are free to dress and go home if you like, if you don't want to stick around. I will handle media. I will tell them exactly why you didn't participate the rest of the game and nobody saw you. You violated a team rule. You put yourself, your own interests before team. You cost our team. We will not tolerate that. And then we will address it at the facility in advance of the next game. But you need to make the penalties clear. Otherwise, this is going to continue happening. We'll see it in a college football playoff game. We'll see it in an NFL playoff game. Is it going to take us seeing it in a national title game or a Super Bowl for the penalty to fit the crime? I'm tired of seeing it. Aren't these coaches? Aren't other players? Aren't general managers? Aren't team presidents? Aren't athletic directors? Aren't college presidents? There is no excuse for it. So it's not something that can be justified. We know what's going on here. And until you remove until you create a large enough penalty to the individual player for doing it, it will continue. Brandon Legal Group Pin Chasers sponsor the Todd Wright Toddcast. Always your thoughts welcome at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com, or other topics where you have an opinion, want to share it with me, and then I would read your email on a podcast and we go from there. And yes, you'll still get podcasts next week during the Christmas week. Write.todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Toddcast, presented by BLG, Brandon Legal Group, and PC, Pin Chasers. Thanks for listening.